Prince had a lot of money.
Hell yeah.
He did pretty well for himself. You know what I love is all these musicians and actors and actresses that spend all their money and go bankrupt. And it's like, you're supposed to feel bad for them that they had millions and millions of dollars and then they...
Millions of dollars, tons of hot chicks.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll for decades, and now they're all played out, and they live like the rest of us, and we're supposed to feel bad.
It's crazy.
Not happening, people. Yeah. Not happening.
You know, there was a president that went broke. He was completely broke and bankrupt when he died. Do you know who it was? I'll give you a hint. 1800s. Civil War.
Lincoln?
No, it wasn't Lincoln.
Well, I know his wife went broke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Congress had to appropriate extra money for Mrs. Lincoln, who also went crazy.
Batty. She was crazy. It was Ulysses S. Grant.
Really?
He was broke. He put all of his money into this law firm or brokerage firm, and it failed. So he had no money left. And P.T. Barnum, or actually... Was it, I think it was P.T. Barnum. He actually offered to buy all of his, or rent out his medals and stuff for like a Wild West show. And Grant didn't want to do that. And then Mark Twain came along and said, write down your memoirs. So he did. And literally he died like as soon as he was done with his memoirs. Didn't see a nickel. But it was like a bestseller after that. So like the family ended up getting a lot of money. But... I don't know about this thing with Prince with like the half-sisters and the brothers and stuff. And they haven't put out any music. It's annoying, you know? It's like you want to hear some new music even though the guy died. It would be nice. And he was a genius.
He was a genius.
I think I'll put on some Genesis in the background here. Some Genesis from 1986. This was a really big album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had the... this one, Invisible Touch, and then, of course, the Cold War one from Invisible Touch. With all the puppets and Ronnie Reagan and his Superman outfit going up against Gorby. Phil Collins and Genesis was pretty hot in the 80s. They had quite a few big hits.
Yeah, but they were... I had two friends, Jim and Bert.
Uh-huh.
Jim always wanted, let's go to my room. We'll do a Genesis concert. And he had, like, all their albums, and all he wanted to do all day was listen to Genesis.
Really? That's all he wanted to do was just listen to Genesis? This was at school?
Yeah, and Bert, all Bert wanted to do was listen to the freaking Beatles. I can't stand the Beatles right now.
You got too much Beatled out early?
Oh, my God.
So when was this? When was the Beatles and Genesis around the same period?
Yeah, just about the same period.
You always had some people that were just big into one band, you know? I was big into Prince. Mostly because I had a girl that liked Prince, so I became an expert at Prince. Yeah. Girl's gone, but Prince is still with me. Yep. Happy for that.
On both accounts.
Yep. I was such a big Prince fan that when I went over to school in England for the summer of 1990, I bought a bunch of Prince posters. And one of my friends there, she took them back for me. I don't know. I don't remember why. She was going home early or something, offered to take them back. And then I never got to get my posters back. And she's got them up in her parents' attic to this day. They're still there. Like these great Prince posters from 1990.
You should go get them. They're probably worth something.
I know. Yeah. They're worth a lot. It's like at this point. Yeah. At this point now, I'm just like, you know. It's like the story's more fun than the actual poster. When I finally get it, I'll be like, yeah.
That's true.
But I also went out of my way to go see Prince when I was in England. I was going to school, and I skipped school for the day. And I went to Birmingham in a bus. I didn't even know how to get there. I didn't know where Birmingham was from Oxford. And I saw Prince. I saw him ninth row. And center stage was awesome.
You just told that story so you could tell everybody you went to Oxford.
That's true, too. By the way, everybody, I'm a genius. By the way, everybody, I used to be wicked smart. Now I'm a moron.
Yes.
I let my heart take over my brain at one point.
From those days back in Oxford, don't you know?
By the way, Tufts University, I went to Oxford. You pricks.
Yes. The lads back at the old... the common in Oxford.
Yes. I'm going to work on that voice. I'm going to work on that as I get older. I went to Oxford. Don't anyone like a cigar? It's 4 o'clock somewhere. Would anyone like a cigar? Please come over and I will tell you a tale
of
when I went to... When I went to Stratford-upon-Avon to see Richard III starring Ian McKellen. I kind of sound like Professor Snape there, a little bit.
A little bit.
He's dead, too.
Oh, is he dying?
Oh, yeah, he's dead. Yeah. All the Harry Potter people are going left and right. I liked him, though.
You think that's a conspiracy? We should make one.
We should make a new... That's what we got to make. We have to steal... We have to steal another idea from somebody else like she did with Dungeons & Dragons and make a thing for kids and set it early so they can grow up with it, just like Harry Potter. It was a brilliant idea. Brilliant. Now she's sitting back and doing whatever. Actually, that did you see that follow-up movie that was set in New York City in like the 20s or something, the turn of the century?
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, what's the name of it?
It's like
amazing animals,
crazy familiar creatures, or something like that.
Amazing.
Those crazy familiars, those crazy familiar creatures, and
I thought it was good. I thought it was a little weak at the end.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. By J.K. Rowling. So I think now, if you're a guy, you got to hide. Like I would change my name. I'd change it to Kristen instead of putting in Chris, because then more people will buy it now.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they change, the ladies' names would change to, like, their initials? I'd change mine to a broad just to have a few more paperbacks sold. you can say, can I still say the word broad in 2018? Probably not. That's the fun of Chris Earl.
That's the fun of
He doesn't care really pretty much about anything.
How much is she worth?
Oh, she's worth a lot. She's married to a guy named George and a guy named Neil Murray. She's still got three kids.
She's married to two guys?
She might as well be. Fortune of £600 million. Isn't that like $1 billion?
That's over $1 billion.
Wait a minute. That can't be right. Yeah, Sunday Times estimated J.K. Rowling's fortune at £600 million. That's like $1 billion. That's crazy. That's like more than George Lucas. Come on.
Yeah, and all she did was make up.
She ripped off Dungeons and Dragons and like Conan the Barbarian. Man, I've been doing things wrong.
Your See, that's whole the, life, man. Your
you got to rip
life.
Off people, man. That's it. That's the success story. You don't help people. You don't create original stuff. You got to rip off people. Like Joanne Rowling did. J.K.
Yeah, and you have to have kind of an androgynous, nebulous first name.
Yeah. I'm going to call her, see if I can get her on the phone, see if she needs a third and fourth husband. Would you do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my
I'm
God,
in.
£600 million. We'd freaking live like kings and queens over there.
Hey, I'll sign a...
I'll dress up as a queen. I don't care.
I'll sign a prenup for £40 million. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic Beasts, that's what it was.
Fantastic Beasts and How to Find
Them. And Where to Find Them. And the next one is called The Crimes of Grindelwald. So they're making another one. The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I don't know.
That was like a Grindelwald's probably like a Dungeons and Dragons character. Like roll 2 8p dice and you could kill the Grindelwald. That's all she did.
Grindelwald's always been tough.
Yeah, she was probably sitting around with some like drunken ex-boyfriend that played Dungeons and Dragons all the time and always ate at her, so she went out and she wrote a book, ripped off Dungeons and Dragons, and now she's a billionaire. You know? And did she say, this is for, you know, my first drunken boyfriend Mike who played Dungeons and Dragons? No, of course not. Wouldn't own up to it. That's what happened.
Yeah, but his name was Wally.
It was Wally. Here's his phone number, 867-5309. Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. Now, what if Wally's getting all these calls because of us?
Yeah.
I see, I said us too, because I got you as a conspirator now. So I'm not alone
Sorry,
on this,
Wally.
Winston. Sorry about that, Wally. Well, we did play Thomas Dolby for you. We'll have to play another one for Wally. I'm going to check and see if I got any messages from Wally.
Yeah.
This is a great one. Gary Numan with Cars in the background. Fantastic. Oh, De Niro. Another great.
Oh, yeah.
Another great one that we didn't mention. A euphemism for money. All right. Be right back. We are doing the Big 80s. I'm here with my friend Winston Kidd. It is WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. You want to request 855-915-WMFO, or you can post it to Watch This with Chris Earle on the Facebook. Here with you till 8 p.m.
WMFO Medford. Back in the jungle, and people whisper, people
talk. Was Black Father's act so humble? All the young girls, they've got the blues. They're heading on back to Santa Barbara too. Keep it undercover. All I say. Keep it undercover. All I say. Undercover. All I say. Undercover. Keep it all I say. Undercover. I'm the nerd. Keep rushing. The smell of sex, the smell of suicide. All these dream things I can't keep inside. Undercover, all I say. Undercover, I'm the nerd.
New Jerusalem. Silver cities rise, the morning lights, the streets that lead them, and sirens call them on with a song. It's asking for the
me such a bad time. You tried to hurt me, but now I know.
I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is the Big 80s. My name's Chris Earle. My guest here is Winston Kidd. We're here with you till 8 p.m. And in the background, we got the Wall of Voodoo with Mexican Radio. I don't think you can get away with this one anymore. You're not going to hear this on Kiss 108 anymore, you know?
Probably not.
No, no. I got a couple lined up from the 80s you're probably not going to hear anymore. This is Wall of Voodoo. Cinco de Mayo's coming up. It's always exciting. I like Cinco de Mayo. Another day to eat tacos, you know?
Any day to eat that we get to eat tacos is a good day.
Yeah. Back then, we only had the 5th of May, and now we have Taco Tuesday. Luckily, somebody made up the brilliant idea of every Tuesday. So now we have Cinco de Mayo every Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cinco de Taco.
Cinco de Taco. It was back in the 80s, there really weren't many Mexican places around. Taco Bell, that was it. And those weren't even around.
No, there weren't.
I remember the first one opening in Burlington in like maybe 87, 86, 87.
Yeah.
And it was next to Newbury Comics. So, of course, go down there when you get the license, when I got it, and bring my friends, get a taco, get some new music.
Get the Taco Supreme.
But now they got, how many Mexican places are there now? Like Chipotle? Is that a multi, it's considered a Mexican place, right? Taco Bell, Chipotle, On the Borders, right?
Yeah, you got On the Border, Chili's, Margaritas.
Chili's, yeah, Margaritas.
But it's not like that's real.
No.
Mexican food.
No. You got to go to like a good place. Like I was in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good stuff. Oh, yeah. They had Mexicans making the Mexican food. That's what I like. Yeah. You know? They're like banging out, you know, flour tortillas, corn tortillas, and it is melting your mouth. Was that good?
My ex-wife used to actually lived and grew up in Alamogordo, New Mexico. When we were married, we would go there. Great Mexican food. You know what's not good?
What's that?
In Alamogordo, New Mexico, which is, to give you guys a to give everybody an idea, Alamogordo, New Mexico is right next to White Sands Missile Range where they tested the very first nuclear bomb.
Oh, no.
And it's about, what, 40 or 50 miles north of the border.
You don't want to eat anything from that, from around there.
And
no meat, no vegetables, nothing.
No Chinese food. Do not. Chinese food in Alamogordo is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, sushi is right out, but Chinese food,
yeah,
definitely not.
Mm.
We did that once. It was,
Some irradiated meat?
No, it was just apparently they added a little too much ginger.
Uh-huh.
To the mix, and it smelled like sulfur.
Ugh.
So yeah, they bring out this food and it smells like rotten eggs.
Ugh, gross. A little ginger goes a long way.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say on Gilligan's Island, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why most people preferred Marianne.
Everybody wanted Marianne. I was a Marianne guy
from the
beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
I love redheads, but ginger was kind of like too,
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was too much.
You know.
A little ginger's fine. She always tried too hard. Well, that's what was funny is like she was sexy, but she went out of her way to let everybody know that. She tried too hard. And Marianne was just like, hey, what's going on? You want to play ball, you know?
Yep.
You want to go on a boat? Sure. She's fun.
She was. She was fun, perky. Perky and fun. Whereas Ginger was sultry.
Exactly. See, they don't have like a nice stupid show like that on anymore either, really. You know? They got to stop making like a real stupid show. Like all the shows on Netflix and Amazon Prime and like, you know, you got even YouTube is going YouTube Red for money and Disney's coming out with their channel and all kinds of crazy stuff now. It's just like all serious. Just put on something stupid, you know? What happened to just stupid stuff? Like Dumb and Dumber and, you know, Dude, Where's My Car? You know, that was like the last real big budget stupid movie.
Somebody else was talking about that. I was talking to somebody just recently about that. And it's like, yeah, it was just, you need, you know, something that's fun and stupid.
You need escapism. Because you don't need to be reminded of how horrible your life is when you go to the movies, you know? It's like every now and then, but
I think it was Joey Diaz talking to Joe Rogan on his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about John Wick.
Okay.
And how that's just, it's fun.
See, I haven't seen John Wick yet.
John Wick and
John
Wick
2. I heard it was good.
Really good.
I heard that, yeah. I got to check it out. I just rewatched Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu this week, and it wasn't bad. You know, everybody trashed it, but it really wasn't a bad remake. So did you see John Wick?
I saw John Wick was good. Mm-hmm. John Wick 2 basically takes the mayhem and the gratuitous violence and brings it up to 11.
It's good. I kind of like Keanu. You know, over time, I'm like, he's usually playing the same guy. He's a great stone face, you know, like Buster Keaton. You know, he's good. Like, he did a pretty good job in the Day the Earth Stood Still remake.
But think about it. He started with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
And so that guy basically morphed into, you know, John Wick.
I know. He was lucky. Well, Matrix saved his day.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. I mean, Matrix was kind of like, you know, it was a question mark. And then when that came out and blew up, I hated the second one and the third one. I didn't even see the third one. I hated the second one so much, I didn't even bother.
I don't think I saw the third one.
Yeah.
I loved the first one.
First one was fantastic.
Loved it.
Yeah. Anything with, you know, what's his name there? Lawrence Fishburne. He used to be Larry Fishburne. Then he became an actor and became Lawrence Fishburne. As yeah, Morpheus to, telling you to eat pills.
When
it's
he
awesome.
Used to hang out with us at the cafe, he was Larry.
But he's like, no. I'm in a film.
We used to call him Larry Fishbum.
Yes, then, Larry Fishbum.
Then once, you know, he gets a job, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we got a Mr. Fishburne.
Yeah.
Lawrence.
I used to call him LF. He doesn't like that either. Here's another one. This will never get away in Kiss 108 anymore. Turning Japanese by the vapors.
Yeah.
We might even get calls about this. I'm going to get calls about Wally, calls about the playing the Vapors and Wall of Voodoo. I'm in big trouble, Winston.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in big trouble.
Now, do you know what the Vapors are?
The Vapors? No. Did they name it the band after something in particular? Oh, what was that?
Okay, back in the 1800s, when women used to wear all of those clothes and they'd have like 17 corsets.
Uh-huh.
They would pull them so tight.
Yes.
That they couldn't hardly breathe.
Right. To show like a thin waist or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like a little waist, yeah.
And my understanding is, in fact, we should probably just Google it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm thinking it was when they started to pass gas.
Uh-huh.
Because you got your waist so tight, it's going to...
Oh, it's just going to stay there.
And so they get the vapors and...
And then they have to loosen up the gown, the corset. Up. Of course you do. This is a great band, too. The Nails.
Oh,
88 lines
song.
About 44 women.
I love this song. She's the one who put it in. Mary was a black girl. I was afraid of a girl like that. Susan painted pictures sitting down like the Buddha sat.
Little different version of it.
Rena was a nameless girl, a geographic memory. Kathy was a Jesus freak, she liked that kind of misery. Vicky had a special way of turning sex into a song. Kamala, who couldn't sing, kept the beat, kept it strong. An archetype, the voodoo queen, the queen of wrath. Joan thought men were second best at masturbating in the bath. Sherry was a feminist, she really had the gift of gab. Kathleen's point of view was this: take whatever you can grab. Seattle was an other girl who left her mark upon the map. Karen liked to tie me up and left me hanging by a strap. Ginny had a nightclub walk that made grown men feel underage. Mariella, who had a son, said I must go but finally stayed. Gloria, the last taboo, was shattered by her tongue one night. Mimi brought the taboo back and held it up. For the light, Marilyn, who knew no shame, was never ever satisfied. Julie came and went so fast she didn't even say goodbye. Well, Rhonda had a house in Venice, lived on brown rice and cocaine. Patty had a house in Houston, shot cough syrup in her veins. Linda thought her life was empty, filled it up with alcohol. Catherine was much too pretty, she didn't do that shit at all. not Catherine. Nuh-uh. Thought that love was simple, turn it on and turn it off. Marie was complicated like some French filmmaker's plot. Gina was the perfect lady, always had her stocking straight. Jackie was a rich punk rocker, silver spoon, a paper plate. Sarah was this modern dancer, lean, pristine transparency. Janet wrote bad poetry in a crazy kind of urgency. Tanya Turkish liked to fuck while wearing leather biker boots. Brenda's strange obsession was for certain vegetables and fruit. Are you receiving me? Rowena was an artist's daughter, the deeper image shook her up. His mother left her father, took his money and his truck. Debbie Ray had no such problems, perfect Norman Rockwell home. Nina, 16, had a baby, left her parents, lived alone. Bobby joined a new wave band, changed her name to Bobby Socks. Eloise, who played guitar, sang songs about whales and cops. Terry didn't give a shit, was just a nihilist. Ronnie was much more my style, but she wrote songs just like this. Jezebel went 40 days drinking nothing but Perrier. Dinah drove her Chevrolet into the San Francisco Bay. Judy came from Ohio, she's a Scientologist. Amaranta, here's a kiss, I chose you to end this list. Ah. 88 lines about 44 women.
What's it?
such a great song. You ever see Vision Quest?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies of the 80s. And what a great, great soundtrack. This is Change in the background of John Waite. When he wrestles Shoot, and Shoot's like four times the size of him. His name's Loudon Swain. And he's got the girlfriend that moves in with him. She's like living with the family, renting out a room, and he starts going out with her. Such a great, great movie.
It is.
Yeah. Probably one of my favorite sports movies is Vision Quest. Any other euphemisms for money that we could think of? Did you come up with anything else? I think we pretty much exhausted the subject.
Much like my bank account.
Much like the bank account, yeah.
Exactly.
We should make up some kind of new fun word for money. I like cabbage. We should bring cabbage back. You know what's big in the 80s? Rocky movies. Let me play the Rocky movie in the background here.
I remember going to the theater and watching Rocky the first time, the first one. What a great ending.
Yeah. Love him. You can't beat it. Good stuff. You into Philly?
Oh, yeah. My brother lives right outside of Philly.
You get cheesesteak?
Yep.
Yeah. See the Bell?
Have not seen the Bell.
Oh, the Bell's great. It's broken.
Back and yeah, much like most of Philly.
Yes, that's true. Like most of the people in Philly, too. Yeah. Philly's great, though. It's fun to visit Philly. You can go check out the Bell, get a cheesesteak, and go to the U.S. Mint and see all the dollar bills printed, which is pretty awesome. You could buy a couple dollar bills that are uncirculated on the way home if you want. Impress your friends. Plus, there's a downtown there, and they still have actual happy hours, so you can go out at like 3 or 4 and have dollar drafts. Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
Can't do that anymore.
Especially with the dollar drafts. The dollar drafts you get now are like this no-name beer you've never heard of before. And the old red, white, and blue, the golden anniversary, you know? Just the things that sat in the taps.
I used to go to the pub in Amherst.
Yeah. It was a great place. I love the pub.
Pub night.
Yeah.
And just, what was it, like 50 cents to fill it? It was like a 10-ounce mug. It wasn't huge.
Uh-huh.
But it was 50 cents.
I know, you can't beat it.
And they had, and they still do have, they have free bus service that goes all around the Five College area.
Yeah.
So you didn't even have to think about driving.
Yeah.
You just stumbled to the nearest bus stop.
That's nice. You know, it was funny. I remember turning 21 when I was going to school, and then I finally got into the bars. I'm like, this is great, but, you know, it's like, at that point, you know, as a senior and only really had a few friends left, you know, most everybody was busy all the time, you know, so you only did, you were getting ready to leave school. I remember staying up there, though, for the summer and the winter, and there was really nobody there. It was pretty fun, though.
Yeah, I did an intercession there.
My first drink that I had when I was 21, do you remember yours? Mine was a Purple Rain.
Purple.
It was basically a shot. It was a grape vodka shot. That's what I ended up having as my first drink at 21. And it was at 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, somebody's drinking somewhere. I think I skipped classes and I went out with my buddy who came up from Providence. He came up for the day. I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. So it's like, I've got to do something for my birthday for 21. But I had it at the pub. That was my first legal drink. That's one thing about UMass. It's like, that's where you learn how to drink. That's, you really do.
That's where I had mine.
Was it really the pub?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a Wednesday. No, mm-hmm. It wasn't a Wednesday. It was a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate's sister came up, and the three of us went out.
Yeah.
And I got hammered. And
it's a good place to get that.
Yeah, that was a pub, but it was a beer. My first drink was a beer.
Yeah.
Legal drink was a beer.
You didn't get a shot? No?
Afterwards, we were doing shots. We were doing kamikazes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember my friend brought a bunch of weed, too.
I can't do weed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it, but at the time then, it was the birthday, and I remember us having a little smoke, and I remember looking at him a couple hours later, and I'm like, what'd you say? And he's like, you haven't talked for 2 hours. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I thought we were having a conversation. This is why I never smoked weed. I was just like, every time I did, I had a couple drinks in me. I was just messed up, you know?
No, I tried it a couple times. Mm-hmm. Puts me right to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, let's go party. We got some weed. Oh, sure, I'll try. Mm-hmm. Boom. I'm out. 10 minutes later, I'm done.
Yeah.
It is the anti-party drug for Winston.
It's funny. Barbara Bush died. She was a big 80s person.
Yeah. Babs?
Babs.
Hats off for Babs.
I was talking to my dad, and he said he went up to Maine once, and he said he got off the exit for Kenny Bunkport, and he goes and he sees this big guy with a Glock, and he goes and he was wondering what's going on. He's with his wife, and then he's like, right behind him, here comes Walker Bush. He called him Walker Bush. Here comes Walker Bush with Barbara, and he's waving at me. And he said, his wife said to him, who are you waving at? And he goes, there's the president. There's Walker Bush and his wife waving at him. And she goes, that's not him. And he goes, they're waving at us. He's like, they're looking right at us. And she goes, that's not him. And he goes, that's my Barbara Bush story. That was his Barbara Bush story. So all of that, my dad came this close to meet not only Barbara Bush, but Walker Bush.
There you go.
And the guy with the Glock, whoever he was.
Yeah, you didn't want to meet the guy with the Glock.
No. Yeah, they were up vacationing, you know, but he was in office. That's what he said. But his wife refused to believe that it was him. That's what he said, too. She didn't think, maybe because you didn't call her George Bush. Called him Walker.
Walker,
Texas Ranger Bush. Kokomo in the background from a seminal 80s flick, Cocktail, with Patrick Swayze and Tom Cruise. This is the Beach Boys' big comeback in the 80s. What happened to Brian Wilson? Did you see that Brian Wilson movie? What a great movie.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, with John Cusack and that other kid. It was really good. Yeah, so that's from Cocktail. We're only on for another 5 minutes here. We're going to find some other stuff to play. Put a little Journey in the background here for you. It's the big 80s. The regular show is Watch This with Chris Earle. It's every Wednesday night from 5 until 7 p.m. Winston was my first guest. He was my last guest to time travel. And you want to come in here and sub with me anytime, Winston, let me know. And come in and we'll do the big 80s. And we'll talk about the 80s and we'll call up Wally and our other people. We'll try to make some friends here while we're on the air. Everybody can use friends.
I come back, we should call Wally again.
I think so. We'll call Wally again. So, I'll leave you with Journey. I'll leave you with one more. I'll leave you with Journey and the Clash. And see you next Wednesday night. Thanks for coming to Winston.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great night, everyone.